All right, Jeremiah chapter 23. Just a simple thought tonight, but we're going to read a lot of scripture. And I want you to listen for this phrase, the counsel and the imagination of the heart. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 9. Everybody there? All right, read with me. You don't have to read aloud, but just follow along here. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. That's a little phrase that kind of caught my attention when I was reading this earlier, but anyway. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem and horrible thing. Seen in the prophets of Jerusalem and the horrible thing. They commit adultery and they walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. It's a terrible thing for a prophet or a priest, a religious leader, to strengthen the hands of the evildoers. Something God judged here. They need everybody that's going to lead in any way or try to influence other people, even if you're just a plain old Christian and don't have any kind of a office like that. That's a terrible sin right there before God, to strengthen the hands of evildoers. You don't want to do that, no matter what you do. You don't want to say things. You don't want to make excuses. You don't want to justify in any way evildoers. Amen. Well, you do. Well, you condemn them. That's right. You say the truth and what God says, and if it's wrong, it's wrong what they're doing. Continue. That none doeth return from his wickedness. Now, that was the effect of these priests and prophets. They strengthened the hands of the evildoers that none of them returned from doing their wickedness. They helped them to do it. I think that's what big deal what's going on nowadays in the churches. The preachers and their puny doctrine and their warped up religion is they're strengthening the hands of evildoers. They're encouraging people to sin. They're not telling them that it's wrong. They're not telling, well, they might say it's wrong, but it's okay because God understands and you can't help it. I was showing Seth the other day, I seen on this King James 1611 thing on Facebook. It said, whether you were born that way or not, you're going to spend eternity in hell fire if you're not born again. And I was encouraged by a lot of the comments that said, I never have believed you were born that way. Yes, most people do. But that strengthens people in their sin. It doesn't cause them to turn from it like it said here, you know. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievous upon the head of the wicked. It says there, they say unto every one, they say to him that, who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked the his word and heard it. In other words, who knows what God has really said? I was telling my wife the other day, I was reading this commentary, and this is where commentaries get their bad reputation from. The deal about David, I was studying about David and killing Goliath, and you know the last part of the chapter, he comes back and Saul said, who is the, he asked Abner, he said, whose son is this? Well, David had been playing for Saul. Before that, Saul had said to Jesse, let David come and stand before me, for he's found favor in my sight, and I love, and it says Saul loved David greatly, and then here he is saying, who is this kid? Who is he? Well, it's a thing to wonder about. It's always caused people to wonder about it. But this guy come up with the idea that in chapter 17, verses 11 through 32, wasn't supposed to be there. He went to the Vatican copy of the scriptures, which is corrupt, the Vaticanus, and figured out that somebody somewhere back there just put all that in there about David going back to the sheep and all of that. And if you take those verses out, then it all makes sense. Somehow. So that's how you do it. That's what these prophets were doing right here. They said, we just make it up ourselves because we really don't know what the Bible says. We got so many different versions and they all say different things. How do we know what God really said? They tell us, the scholars do, that this is not supposed to be in there and that this word really means this instead of what it says. And there's so many errors in it that nobody knows. So who knows what God really has said? Don't worry about it. No? All right, let me get on here. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And said, I said. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. See, God says a real prophet is going to encourage people to live holy and to quit living in sin, in continual habitual sin. It's the mark of a real prophet. It's the mark of a false prophet when he doesn't teach them that. He said, if they had really been stood in my counsel, and if I had really sent them, this is what they would have preached. They'd have told everybody to quit that adultery and lying and stealing and all that profanity and stuff. It's all right there. We just read it. But that ain't what they did. They said, you're okay. You're going to have peace. Peace and safety to you from God. Mm-hmm. They preach like Joel Osteen does. Yeah. It's a great day for you tomorrow. Things are going to get better. There's great days ahead for you. You know, I've listened to him some. I got him on the XM radio. It makes her mad when I listen to him, but I just listen to him just say, see. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I've heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I mean, you can tell the difference between a false prophet and a real prophet. Just listen to him a little bit and you can tell the difference right away. God said, what's the chaff to the wind? Or what's the chaff to the wheat? My word, when it's spoken, is like a fire. My word, when it's spoken and I've sent it, it's like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Therefore, false prophets don't preach like that. They don't break no rocks. There ain't no fire in their preaching. Amen. Ain't nothing. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I am too. Yes, sir. I'm against those prophets that steal the truth and steal the word of God from God's people. Lie to them. That use their, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, their jokes and their entertainment and their acting goofy and their storytelling and comedy acts and their drama and all that lightness, making light. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. All right, Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's flip back here and let's read a few verses. I told you I'm going to read a lot of scripture and I'm not going to say a lot. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. Bible says this, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day. I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets daily. Catch that. God says that ever since they come out of Egypt, he sent his prophets daily. Every day, God sent his prophets to preach to these people. That's what it says, ain't it? Rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. He's telling Jeremiah this. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. It's what Stephen told that bunch just before they stoned him in Acts chapter 7. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and mind. How long will you resist the Holy Ghost? As your fathers did, see? Said the same thing that Jeremiah said. And God told him to say that. Just tell him, you're a nation that won't obey the voice of God. And you won't receive any correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. But for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. So God's not happy. You see that? Jeremiah chapter 9. Flip over there. Two chapters over, verse 12. 9:12. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them, till I have consumed them. Chapter 11, verse 7. 11, 7. Not 7, 11. 11, 7. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, he did it every day. See, the Bible says again there that he did it every day. God spoke to his people through a prophet. Every day since they come out of the land of Egypt, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I have commanded them to do, but they did them not. Chapter 13, verse 10. Chapter 13, verse 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Chapter 16, verse 12. About done here. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Are you hearing something pretty often here? Chapter 18, verse 12. And they said, there's no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. You know what that means, don't you? You ever see anybody shake her head? You ever do that? You ever look at somebody that's just being absolutely stupid, and you just shake your head and say, what in the world? How in the world? That's what everybody did with Israel. They just wagged their head in her. Crazy, crazy. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back, not the face, in the day of their calamity. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priests, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. That was their response. Jesus, one more verse. Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 50, says this, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. All right, now, our walk as a Christian involves some very important things. The decisions that we make, the direction that we're going, and the destination that we hope to arrive at. Our purpose. What are we here for? What is the purpose of my life? You ever wonder about that about yourself? You ever think about it? And then others are following us. These are important things and issues in our life as a Christian. Our decisions, our direction, our destination, our purpose, and the fact that others are following us. We need to think about these things. Now, one course is determined by the counsel and imagination of our heart, or it's determined by the Word of God. There's only two choices. You've got a compass, and it's either the imagination of your heart or it's the Word of God. Now, you're either living by one or the other. You're steering your ship by one or the other. Not both. Nope. One or the other. Our course is set by our little choices and decisions. You know, I was thinking today about Saul we talked about this morning, and Saul's life, the course of everything was changed by just a couple of decisions that he made, a couple of choices, a couple of things that he decided to do impulsively. And it changed the whole course of his life. Our course is set by our little choices and decisions. You may not think it's important where you go tomorrow, who you hang around with tomorrow, but it might be the thing that changes your life, one way or the other, for good or for bad. Believe me, I'm far enough down the road to realize and look back down the road of my life and realize, whew, my goodness, how close I came to missing the boat. By just simple little frivolous things in life where I went right instead of left. And I could have went left just as easily. It's the little things that change the whole direction of your life. Now, either our heart is our counselor, or the Word of God is our counselor. Who we go to for advice. Who we listen to. Whose thought patterns we follow. Whose facts we... Whose suggestions we take as facts. It's either our heart or it's the Word of God. Now, when you listen to both, and then you lay aside the Word of God and choose the way that your feelings agree with, you're walking after the counsel and imagination of your heart. Now, you need to understand that. Well, I just feel like we ought to do this. Terrible. Terrible. If that's what made your decision, if that's what you went by, is that gut feeling, what you felt the best about, you're walking after the imagination of your heart. And it's always referred to as evil. It's never referred to as good. He that trusteth in his own heart, y'all hear this so often, is a fool. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. That's a good verse to get down in your little library that you refer to often. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So when somebody says to you, just follow your heart, honey, you better understand that's a fool's advice. It's terrible advice. Terribly ungodly. When you know, our walk is determined by these little things. We may profess with our mouth to be walking after God's counsel, but the little things in our life tell the truth about what's guiding us. I read a little saying that yesterday, and it went right along with that. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Is about what it said there. But when our choices directly contradict the Word of God and His ways, we're obviously walking in the imagination of our heart. We're following our heart. Not God. When what we do and what we choose contradicts what He says and His ways, then we're not being led by God. And we're not walking in the counsel of God's Word. We're walking after the imagination of our heart. That's what these people were doing. When the land was filled with adultery and profaneness, and the priest and the prophets and all of them were involved in it. When it was that situation, that's what they were doing. They were going by their feelings. They were doing what they thought was right, what they felt was right. And everybody, you know, they were in the same shape everything's in now. Everybody had their own truth. There was no absolute. Nobody had a right to judge anybody else. You don't, what's right for you might not be right for me. And what's right for me might not be right for you. Just because you think something's wrong don't mean it's wrong for them. That kind of nonsense. That's evil. Come from a bunch of evil hearts. Walking after their own hearts and lust of their hearts and not after the Word of God at all. Boy, the Word of God don't teach you any such nonsense as that. The imagination of your heart means that you're walking according to your feelings, your intellect, and your will. Three things. If you're walking after the imagination of your heart, you're walking after your feelings. You're walking after your intellect and after your will. So, God is real. God's not imagination. You don't imagine God. That's why He said no images. That's why we don't have any pictures of Jesus in here. There are no pictures of Jesus. Artist pictures that they've made up out of the imagination of their heart. And those things have no place in the house of God. And besides, I've never seen one that I thought really is what Jesus looked like anyway. I don't think of Jesus and I have to see a face. It's not that way with me. I don't have to visualize in my mind what he looks like. And you know, these pictures and everything that everybody's had so many years and all of that, do you realize what that does to your mind and your heart? When you think of Jesus, you're thinking of that picture, your favorite picture of Jesus. Yeah. You think he really looks like what you imagine that he looks like. You're doing things that are contradict the Word of God here. God said not to do that. God said it's wrong and it's evil when we start doing that. Start trying to worship God and understand God through what we imagine about him. It's wrong. God's real. He's not an imagination. Walking after the imagination is just that. It's nothing real or solid other than what you think or what you feel. No foundation or anything to refer to as authority except your opinions and the opinions of those who agree with you. That's all you got. It's kind of like the evolutionists and the infidels. You know, they don't have a thing to back them up. Not a shred of evidence. But they believe. All these alien seekers. Well, they're spending a lot of money and effort. I saw there this week that on the news they said that it's just getting real close, boy. Within the decade, you're going to see on the news where they've found alien life. Yeah. Baby in a womb with its heart a-beating is not life. But if they could find any kind of resemblance to any kind of a worm or bacteria or anything on another planet, they'd declare there's life there. Funny, ain't it? No, it shows you how wicked people who think like that are. Well, those who do not walk after the imagination have a solid foundation. Thus saith the Lord. That's a solid foundation. Thus saith the Lord. It's not what I think, not what you think, not what everybody put together thinks. It's not opinions, it's not imaginations, it's not dreams like the prophets here were talking about. I had a dream. I don't care what you dream. She had a dream this afternoon that the Lord came back. Well, she was disappointed because she woke up and it really wasn't true. That's the way dreams are. You know that, don't you? They're not true. So the prophet said, I have a dream. I had a dream. Y'all want to come to church and everybody just tell what you dreamed about? How would that go for worship? I ain't interested, really. And ain't nobody interested in what you dream. Who cares? It was a dream. When I was little, I dreamed about bears and nobody cared. It scared me to death, but nobody cared. I don't know what I dream about anymore. I don't ever have bad dreams. I don't ever have dreams that scare me and terrify me and all of that. Never, never. So it really doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. Now, where am I at here? Here we go. The world is going to have great influence on your feelings and your intellect and your will. Feelings, seeking pleasure and avoiding anything unpleasant. That's what the world's going to try to get you to do through feelings. Seek pleasure. Now, all the commercials promise you pleasure, don't they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something better, something tastes good, something feels good, something that's fun to do. It's all about pleasure, feelings, and about avoiding anything unpleasant. You know, all these medicine commercials, I was in a waiting room here a few weeks ago with Elizabeth over there, and that TV going, and they're always advertising all these drugs and medicine. And you know how at the end of the commercial, they go, they got this guy telling you all the things it'll do to you, but they run it real fast so you can't hear. You can just hear a word once, and some of the things I heard in there, I don't want that stuff. But first they tell you how good it is and how much you need it and how much better it'll make your life. And they show all these old people smiling and being happy. And then they say, it'll kill you, man. That's what they're saying in that. And you don't hear it. You don't catch it. you're going to bleed and you're going to die and you're going to get dizzy and you're going to have diarrhea and you're going to be constipated. Every one of them does that to you. Both. And I always wonder, how does that work? But they promise, they're trying to get you to follow them, get you to believe them, get you to think like them, about all that junk. Intellect is your way of thinking, seeking to be wise and knowledgeable and understanding. The world's going to work on you there. They're going to try to get you to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't take counsel from ungodly people. About nothing. It's just the way I feel about it. It's kind of like when it comes to religion and things to do with the Bible and the Word of God and doctrine and all of that. I really, you know, I was thinking about it today. I'm not seeking and searching for the way. I have found the way. I'm not lost and trying to find my way still. I don't know everything there is to know about the Word of God. Certainly don't. No, sir. And there's things that I know that I could be taught and all of that. But here's the way I feel about it. And here's where I go straight to when I find somebody wants to challenge me, wants to teach me, wants to get me off on some tangent somewhere. I want to know what you think and what you believe about sin and salvation. And if you ain't got that right, I don't want to hear what you think about Israel and everything else. Because you ain't got it right. Prophecy and all of that, you cannot understand any of that right. If you can't even understand what the problem is with mankind and what God's done about it. And how to be saved, how to really be saved and what it really amounts to. If you don't understand the atonement and the sacrifice God made for your soul and what's been done about sin, then you ain't even in the ball game. And I really don't care to listen to whatever you think about anything else. Amen. I like to talk about the Word of God. I like to be challenged to think about things. Ain't a thing I believe that I'm afraid to talk about or to re-examine. But, you know, I'm not shaky about what I believe. The basic things.
Yes.
Now, the world wants to shake you. They want your way of thinking to be programmed and greatly influenced by them. And let me tell you something here tonight. Your intellect is still being affected greatly if you keep yourself under their influence. If you keep on listening to them. If you give them your ear. I mean, if you'll let them sit there through the TV and talk to you. If you'll let them entertain you with TV programs and stuff that all have... You know, you didn't used to get that in TV shows. You know, all these old TV shows and stuff back when I was a kid. They weren't trying to push some agenda on you. They started it when I was a kid with the sodomites and all of that and the fornication and the adultery and the free love and all of that. It started back then, but you back up a little farther and you don't see that. That working on your mind to turn you against God and truth and the Bible. What I've noticed in a lot of those old programs, you hear a lot of the Bible. You hear a lot about church and traditional Christianity the way it used to be and what they believe. It comes out because that was major. That was a major influence in the culture back then. Now it's total ungodliness. And you sit and listen to them while they prance sodomites around in front of you and while they glorify fornication and immorality and every other thing in the world that's ungodly and they glorify it in front of you. You listen to them sing about it and you buy their music and you just be one of them. Your intellect is not going to work right. Will, that's choosing the way that pleases yourself the most and agrees with your intellect. You're thinking the most, the way you think. See, it's your, you understand what I'm saying to you. This is walking after the imagination of your heart. It has to do with your feelings, your mind, and your will. And the world is going to have a great influence on all of those things. This is the target of temptation. Temptation always has its power in these three areas. These are the areas where we're vulnerable and weak. And people do not understand. I think one of the most valuable things for me. I don't know if how many other people got it, but when I was preaching on the mind and the heart and the will, no, that's back there. But that helped me tremendously in understanding how we're put together here, how your mind and your heart work together, and how they both have to agree, and how the heart consents to the mind or the mind consents to the heart. One's going to yield to the other. So you better get the truth in your mind, in your intellect. You better get it right. You better not let the world and the devil and the flesh influence your intellect and put false data in here, because your heart's going to be affected. And if you go by your heart and your feelings until your mind finally gives up and yields and consents to your heart to just walk after your lust, you're lost, man. That's what happens. That's how it works. These are the areas where we're vulnerable. Now, therefore, these are the areas where we'll be most likely to be deceived. These are the areas of life where the world operates. That's where they operate completely. Intellect, feelings, and will, what you want. Yeah. You ever hear these sayings? They're kind of old, and I know you young people haven't, but it used to be the motto and the theme you heard a lot. The beer commercials used it. They said, you only go around once in life, so go with gusto. I mean, live life to the fullest. I mean, you only got one shot at it, so give it all you got to have fun, to do everything you want to do. Cut her loose, boy. Do whatever you want. Don't refrain from nothing. That's their message. You can fulfill all the needs of feelings and intellect and will by simply taking God at His word and walking in it. Feelings. Here's some verses. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know what he's talking about there? His feelings. He's not going to delight in the things of the world and their wickedness and their lust and all of their enticement to sin. He's going to delight himself in what? The Word of God. Thy statutes. Psalm 119, verse 162. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. That felt pretty good. That's where he got his joy. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So, these scriptures tell us that it's real easy to indulge your feelings in the Word of God. There's no guilt about it. There's no sin about it. You can feel wonderful feelings if you meditate on the Word of God. I've never felt anything out of a song of the world, out of any activity of the world, any pleasure that the world is. I've never, never enjoyed it as much as the joy I get out of the Word of God. Always? No, not always, but sometimes, yeah. And often. And the older I get, the more often it is. It's just like, it is the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. It is. Nothing else compares. The children, the grandchildren, it's wonderful, wonderful joy. But there's sorrow with that also. The Word of God is pure joy. Yes. Nothing can make your heart dance across the sky like understanding the promises of God. Yes, sir. And like God speaking to you through His Word. Yes. Nothing can make you feel that good. Intellect. Psalm 119, verse 42. Your mind. Nothing can exercise your mind. Nothing can thrill your mind more than the Word of God. He said, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. People read and study and research things of the world so they'll know how to do something. So they'll know how to talk to certain people. A lot of religious people do it so they'll know how to argue with different cults and doctrines and all of that. But where do you get understanding? Where do you get real facts? Where does real knowledge really come from? The Word of God. John chapter 17 and verse 17. This is a verse we quote pretty often. But Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That's all Jesus was concerned about. He thought that we needed to read the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 26. "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail." So God gives to a man that's good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. That's good enough for me. You can go ahead and have your worldly comedians and your worldly wise guys and your scientists that wouldn't know, they don't know nothing. Mercy. You can have them. I'll take the word. I'll take what God's got. I can tell you, He's given, just in my little life, He's given me much more than they have. Yes, sir. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. We're talking about your mind, how God, walking in the counsel of God through His Word, what it does for your mind. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. With all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, where are they? They're hid in Christ. If you know Him, if you're in Christ, all that's available to you. "I understand more than all my teachers," said the psalmist, "because I love thy precepts." He wasn't lying. He wasn't stretching the truth. He really did. He understood more than all his teachers because he understood the Word of God. And that's where knowledge and wisdom and understanding come from. Psalm 119 verse 101. "I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word." We're talking about will now. I missed that. One more verse I want to read to you. Psalm 119 verse 101. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's one I've got to have written down in front of me, or I always say it backwards. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God will help you make the right choices. Your will. Your mind, your heart, your feelings, and your will. The Word of God's the answer for all of them. To keep you in line, to help you to walk in the ways that please God, and you don't end up like these people we read about in all those verses. When your heart finds its joy in God and His Word, and your mind finds its answers there also, then your will be much more inclined to walk in those ways. What was the problem with these people we read about in Jeremiah? They said, "We will not hearken." Turn away your ear from hearing the Word of God. God said, "I will not hear your prayer." And He said, "Everyone that turns away his ear from hearing the Word of God is an abomination to God." In fact, He says His prayer shall be an abomination. That's what it actually says. Won't listen? Can't learn. Man, that's elementary in school. You got to listen to learn. You won't listen to the Word of God? You're not going to have any knowledge, no understanding. You're not going to have any joy. Your heart is going to go after the world because your heart has to have some joy. Your heart has to have some feelings that are pleasant. And when you won't get it from the Word of God and nobody can help you to find it in the Word of God, you're going to go out there to the slop pits of the world. Try to find it out there. Is it found out there? Anybody? No, it's not. It's not. It's not to be found out there. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but buddy, it's a short season. And then there's a whole bunch of death that follows. If your heart is finding its pleasure in worldly things, and your mind is searching for answers in the counsel of the ungodly, then you'll be walking after the imagination of your heart. That's all you'll ever have, is imagination. You know people like that, don't you? You ain't one of them, I hope. But that's all they ever have, is dreams, and imaginations, and desires. They're always a-looking. They marry, they divorce. They marry again, they divorce again. Or they just shack with this one and shack with that one. And they just keep trying, keep looking, keep searching. For what? Well, they want to feel good. They want to have some answers and understand all this. But the longer they go like that without God, the more confused it gets for them. And the more miserable. And the more wretched their heart gets. That's why they look so ugly. Have you noticed how ugly everybody looks nowadays? It's not so much physical, it's the heart. I look at people and I realize that it's not. You know, I see people and I see their countenance and their and I always try to think, you know, what would that person look like if they knew God, if they knew righteousness, if they had the joy of God in their heart and hope for eternity? Oh, that ugly face would look different. When you know if you walk out to the world and all that, you'll lay aside the Word of God in practice, if not in profession. A lot of people say they're saved and say they know God, but they're walking after the imagination of their heart, and they're miserable. It's like what she's talking about today, Seth. People want to talk about God and His goodness and everything, but they never find any real joy and peace and rest in their soul and in their heart. It grieves me when I know people like that. You'll face the judgment of God on your life and on your children and all who follow you down the road as you walk away from God. See what I said in the beginning? That's one of the things we got to consider, is that there's other people following us. So these are important things. You know, as a Christian, you got to think about these things. But what's the guide of your life? What is your compass? Is it your own heart? Most people, it is. Fact of the matter, most everybody says in church pews, that's the compass of their life. It's what they feel, what they want. They make their decisions by their feelings, by what they think, based on a bunch of false data they got from the devil through the world and his means. We need to think about where we want to end up. Life's pretty short. I know when you're young, you don't see it that way. I didn't either. That's just the way it is. Old people cannot make young people understand how short life is. You just don't understand it until you start getting old. Then you wake up one day and say, oh my goodness. But you're going to end up somewhere. And the road you're on leads to somewhere. Now, where do you want to end up? What is your destination? Now, I ain't talking about just heaven or hell. I'm talking about at the end of this life, where are you going to be and where are you going to lead everybody that's following you? Important things to think about. What's your purpose in life? If you're concerned about these things, then you'll be paying attention to what you're paying attention to. The compass of your life. You're going to be wanting that thing to be right. Yeah, amen. Yes. People are with this just like they are with the GPS anymore. You know, we saw about something here the other day. Somebody called my wife, and they've been here twice before, but they had to have coordinates to get here because they didn't know how to get here. Got to punch it in a GPS. Now, how hard is it to find this in Elsinore? I believe if I come here once, I believe I could find my way back, unless it's 20 years later or something. And if not, I would still remember, well, that's a little old bitty town. I mean, you just drive into town, you got to see it somewhere. Look up the water tower. Drive into town. Look at your left. There's a water tower. Drive toward it. There it is. But People are so dependent on that GPS, when it says turn, they turn. They don't even pay attention where they're turning. They got to get back in the car and punch in home to get home. They don't know how to get home without it. And that's how dependent most people are on this world, spiritually too. They don't know how to find their way around nowhere. Better start paying attention. Amen. All right, let's stand. Alrighty. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll let the ladies go and get the soup ready. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the good day here in the house of God. Thank you for everybody that's here. Please bless the fellowship now and bless the word of God to our heart. Lord, help us to take heed to what we hear and keep it and not let the devil steal it from our minds and hearts. Lord, help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.